All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 280 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by Betano.ca, where the game starts now, today, and tomorrow. Of course, NHL head-to-head, you got the NBA, you like prop bets? Well, they got it all. Check it out at Betano.ca. I am Jason Greger. We welcome in Frank Saravalli. And just want to say, Frank, the NHL can go pound sand with the 8:22 start times on a Wednesday night. Brutal.
That's 8:22 Mountain Time.
Yeah,
come out to where things actually happen in the East. It's 10:22.
Yeah, so brutal. Like, then the game goes to overtime. It's an entertaining game, though. I'll say that. You don't have many 6-5 games in the NHL where there's some mistakes. Damn right. But man, you can't. I don't understand why people get upset. Like, do you want perfect hockey every night? Like, I'm sorry. I want a little bit of, you know, the Bruins thinking that they're winning. It's 4-1. Edmonton comes back. Then they make some, like, trust me, there was a few terrible gaffes in that game. No question about it. But you know what? Sometimes you want some entertainment. And that definitely had a high level of entertainment, as the Bruins, man, that team goes to overtime a ton. It's amazing. Yeah.
They scrap. They claw. That's kind of their MO this season. I think they're not really all, like, they're way more talented, but they're not all that different from the Flyers. In the way,
yeah, they have more top end talent, though. You're right. Yeah.
But speaking of Betano and entertaining, Tyler and I had a field day with the old Austin Matthews will score two or more last night. Oh, plus 400
for him to get two goals.
Yeah, two or more. It was plus 400.
Oh, God. Yeah, you take that all day the way he's playing. How could
and,
you not?
And sprinkled in a little anytime goal scorer.
Yeah.
It was a very profitable day in this household.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, he's feasting on the bottom teams, as he should. But, and
but it was a slam dunk, no doubter. In Arizona, sitting at 49 goals of a Coyotes team that feels like they've lost
11.
15 in a row. Well, I mean, was he, and, you know, just the ability to cross that 50 goal threshold at home. Did you know coming in that Austin Matthews had only scored fewer goals against one team in his career than the Coyotes? And it was the Kings.
Really?
That's it. And I was like, Tyler texts me, he goes, he's due. I said, all right, let's roll.
That's an excellent strategy. He's due. What, you guys are running the commercial now? Oh, awesome.
Hey, it's only weird if it doesn't work. That's what I'll tell you.
Well, that's true. That's true. So,
but it was, I mean, did anyone not think Austin Matthews was going to score his 50th goal against the Yotes in his hometown?
Yeah, no,
come on.
That's fair. Yeah. So yeah, that's only
and seven. He did it in the first 5 minutes of the game, the anytime goal scorer.
Mm-hmm. So
if I wasn't watching the Oiler game, I would have went to bed.
Yeah, well, the Oiler game was entertaining. People thought it was over as the Oilers can't figure out how to play a second period at this point right now. So they'll have to figure that out. But you know, here we are, Frank, basically 2 weeks on the eve of the NHL trade deadline, and it has been ultra quiet on the
no trades in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Do you think it's because the teams who are looking to acquire are trying to wait as long as they can to maximize their cap space?
Nope. I think it's because it's a really thin market, that there's a bunch of players available that, look, there's higher interest levels than others. You know, there's a bunch of teams lined up for Chris Tanev, but only right now at a certain price. And there's Calgary's having a, as we talked about, much harder time drumming up a market for Noah Hanifin. And then there's a couple teams interested in Adam Henrique, a couple teams interested in Scott Laughton, a bunch of teams interested in Jake Guentzel. But outside of that, maybe those five guys, I think teams are looking around at the rest of the market going, kind of interesting. Maybe they could help us. Maybe not. Not going to pay a super premium to do it. And I think just from the teams that I've talked to, they're not very enthused with the market right now. And I think that's what's driving it.
Yeah, well, that would make sense. I think eventually some teams will work. You mentioned Laughton. He had an apple last night. Konechny another goal, although Konechny, I don't see any chance that the Flyers would trade him. And, you know, the Flyers just, hey, they haven't been dominant by any stretch. They're 5-4-1 now in their last 10 games. And, you know, they just kind of, you got to hold off the Devils and the Islanders. They're 7 points up. Now, those two teams have two games in hand on the Flyers, like 25 games to go for Philly, 27 to go for the Devils and the Islanders. I don't even know if, I don't really want to include Washington, Pittsburgh, sorry, Caps and Pens fans. I just don't think that, that those are the teams that are getting in. I'm very curious about the Devils and the Islanders in what they're going to do.
Well, again, not having a complete picture of how the deadline will play out, like we don't know how aggressive those teams will be. But as it stands right now, I would be completely comfortable in saying that the eight teams that are in will be the eight teams that open the playoffs in the East.
I mean,
we've already seen a sizable gap. Both the Devils and even with games in hand, the Islanders, are their playoff chances are sub 50%. It's not really a big reach to say that. It's just, I don't know how much the Devils will improve. And, you know, I also think there's a huge component to this, and we did a deep dive on the Devils and their game with John Goyens this week on the Coach's Room on Daily Faceoff Live. I encourage you to go back and watch the segment. It's about 8 minutes. And he broke down all of the inefficiencies in New Jersey's game and how they aren't playing like a team with the way that they take care of the puck and attention to detail, like a team that's destined for the playoffs. It's not bad luck due to injuries. It's even when their guys have been healthy. You know, they've been missing Jack Hughes for a big stretch, you know, in 2024, but their power play is something like 7% since January 1st.
The stats will tell you, Frank, that's not good.
Sources say not good. But it's not that. It's not just the stats. It's the eye test.
Yeah.
Careless line changes, mismanaging the puck on breakouts, not making simple reads, not being efficient with the puck. All those things add up to a team that is, I think, really lacking some maturity.
Yeah, no, that's totally valid. And, you know, so what do you make of then Tyler Toffoli? Because I've heard they're trying to re-sign Toffoli, but if he isn't re-signed by March 8th, do you think they move him?
I personally, I don't think they can right now. I mean, obviously they can, but I don't think they would want to, given where they're at. Like, it's not time to wave the white flag, and especially if you're going to be adding, as you know, it appeared that they were pretty close to be doing with Jacob Markstrom 2 weeks ago now, 10 days ago. That doesn't signal to me to be a team that is putting Toffoli on the block and would move him.
Yeah. I just wonder, when you mentioned the light market, if all of a sudden teams are willing to up the ante.
And maybe New Jersey. I would for Tyler Toffoli.
Oh God. Yeah. I think he'd be the ideal top six addition.
I think he'd be a perfect alternative to Jake Guentzel. I don't think he's as good. I don't think he's as impactful. But there's so many ways that Tyler Toffoli can help you.
Yeah, and you look, you know, switching to Guentzel, Frank. You know, I talked to a few scouts, and you know, because a lot of times, oh, he plays with Crosby, and a lot of scouts like, no, this guy is not reliant on Sid Crosby. No offense to Sid Crosby, obviously he's a great player, and it helps when you play with him. But that goes both ways, and you know, you look at Jake Guentzel. I think he's the top. Yeah, guy who's available. And then you look at teams like, man, does Colorado not need another offensive thrust there? You know, Edmonton wanting a top six forward. You know, there's quite a few teams where he could make a significant impact on their team. What about Vegas? You know, with Mark Stone now deemed he's going to be out for a very long time, Frank. And I know instantly, and I get it, people put up the radar and Mark Stone's going to be out for the rest of the regular season. That frees up 10 mil. Now they got the cap space. They're going to go up, make a move, and then magically, poof, he's ready to go for the playoffs, right? And I'll say this. If it happens for a second year in a row, then the NHL has to do something, because clearly that's an issue. You can't magically – like, I know he had surgery last year, so I don't deny the surgery. But you're saying so they time it perfect and all the rehab allows him to not be ready at the end of the regular season, which, by the way, this year – is done on April 18th. And 2 days later is when the playoffs begin. And you're telling me any player magically, it just perfectly timed it? Of course not. They're going to milk it for a week or two, maybe three in some cases. I think the NHL has to, if it happens again, they're going to have to look at doing something, because clearly teams will take advantage of it. I don't discount that he's hurt, Frank,
yeah,
but it's how he can be hurt to magically the perfect timeline, yeah, of when there's no salary cap.
I'm with you. I would say that the Golden Knights have a big leg up with all of the medical history that Stone has. Like, I don't think anyone, I don't know that this is his back or not, but even with the surgery, the line of thinking was he is one rut in the ice away from yet another significant and or catastrophic back injury. And, you know, I don't know how much relief he got from the last surgery he had, but, you know, the expectation has been like, this guy is real close to another injury. Like, he's teetering on the edge. And the fact that they would have the surgery history, all the imaging, like, no one would question that it's a legit injury. But to your point, my issue is, take last year, for instance, and I think it's the best example we have going, that when you look at his games played, he doesn't play a single game from January 12th.
Yep.
And then magically, he strolls out onto the ice for practice in the last week of the regular season, like nothing ever happened. And then boom, he's in the lineup for opening night of the playoffs. And that's after they went out and used some of their LTIR space with Barbashev.
Right. Now, and I know, and I did calculate the numbers. And
you did say that they were cap compliant on, yes, the opening night of the playoffs, which, yes, I think is really all that matters. And I frankly think that's what the rule should be. I don't think you, like, look at the Avalanche this year, because you just mentioned them. So Gabriel Landeskog has missed the entire season. Again, no one questions that Gabriel Landeskog is hurt. But I think the difference here is, if he comes back in the playoffs for someone who's now been skating with the Avs, he missed the entire season, and I don't think he's going to be ready for opening night of the playoffs. You're probably looking at sometime in May if they're still playing. So I can understand that one. But when you kind of repeatedly do the same thing, then that's when people raise questions. And I think everyone's issue with Vegas is that they continue to play loose and fast with pretty much all the rules.
Yeah, no, it's totally valid. And, you know, they'd had some other injuries. So come playoff time, you know, the guys who were in there, and I should say like their 20 man roster, Frank, if we had a 22 or a 23, then they weren't cap compliant. And so I know some people have said, well, as long as your game day roster is cap compliant, I'm like, yeah, okay. But if that allows you down the stretch to add a few guys, it lets you win a few extra games and now you get home ice advantage for it. You know what?
This is such an easy thing to clean up.
Yes, it totally is.
It just, whatever you ice in the playoffs must be cap compliant. Because I don't think teams should be barred from adding players to help them get in or improve their playoff positioning after the trade deadline, utilizing that LTIR space. It should be available to everyone. But once you get to the playoffs, like, you can't just be $15 million over the cap because you timed things perfectly.
Yeah, well, I think we all know that. That's going to be the debate, is the timing things perfectly, because especially this year, you can't tell me.
But take the timing out of it, is what I'm saying.
Oh no, you're right.
Just don't. Let's not play the game of, oh well, the doctor says X and we're supported by Y. Just say, here's your lineup. Here it is during the playoffs, and here it is cap compliant.
Yeah, I know. There's some people who said, hey, if you don't play one game after pick a date, the trade deadline, then you're not eligible for the first round of the playoffs, right? Like, there's different ways you can look at things. Some maybe won't agree with it, but yeah. So
that's either way, over the top.
I think it's probably a little extreme, but it also, I don't discount the players hurt. I want to say that abundantly clear. They're not hiding a guy. Mark Stone hasn't missed a game this season yet. Right.
When he's a point per game player, they're not willfully taking him out of their lineup with the other injuries that they've had.
Yes.
It's just that this now for a super aggressive team may open the door for them to add
cancel.
Yeah. Add at the deadline, whoever it is.
Yeah. But you know what? Because there is no rule this year, if you're Vegas, you're going to be aggressive. No question.
Wouldn't you be? I would be.
Well, yeah. Why not? You use it to your advantage. And until they close the advantage, use it to your advantage. Every team can do it. Now, as again, we said, you need one of your players legitimately hurt. No NHL player is going to sit out for 2 months because of LTIR space. There's no chance, especially a good player. But they're legitimately hurt. If you have to convince them to miss the final week of the season and it allows your team to be better, of course, most competitive guys are going to be like, yeah, okay, I see the advantage. You know what? Whatever. Away we go. That's fine. But I just reiterate, because some people think they just put guys on LTIR willy-nilly. No, they're on there for 3 months. There's no debating the legitimacy of the actual injury. It's the length of the rehab that's always questioned.
Right. When you magically are healthy for game one of the playoffs, that's amazing timing.
Oh, and yeah. It's the doctor in the rehab, they could be the MVP. Come on,
because who's going to question the doctor and their word on medicine? Really, yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and rehab. Let's be honest. There's a timeline of, okay, this guy's out 4 to 6 weeks. We all know that there's no exact, okay, I've got a knee injury on January 21st, so that means exactly to the day this player is going to be ready on March 21st. For instance, it's impossible. Every player rehabs different. Every player recovers different. So I understand all of it, but there should be one that the NHL, and I'm sure they're watching closely, Frank, because as you said, once is once. All of a sudden you do it twice, then it becomes.
Different story. By the way, speaking of Vegas, Riley Smith is a new addition to my trade targets board, out today on dailyfaceoff.com. And I'm curious, like, with Pittsburgh being in a spot that they, as Kyle Dubas acknowledged, clearly need to get younger, Smith hasn't been a great fit there.
Yeah.
Does he make sense to go back to Vegas with Pittsburgh retaining half?
Well,
you can keep, if you're Vegas, you can keep Smith for next year.
at half the cost. Oh my God.
At $2.5 million.
Yeah. 100% they would, I think.
I bet he'd love to go back there.
I don't see why I wouldn't, right?
I don't think he really wanted to leave to begin with, but.
And I guess it comes down to the Penguins' appetite of, you know, what are you getting in return to retain $2.5 million for a full season, right? That's going to be the question. So,
but if you're Vegas, would you, so you know, you have someone on the market that you know fits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably on his own. So it was a salary cap dump at the time, and the Penguins took on the full Riley Smith $5 million a year for 2 years, and Vegas got a third for him.
Yeah.
On his own, Smith is probably worth a second at full boat. But if you're retaining half, if you're Vegas, would you trade a first for him? A guy that you know already fits. Ooh, because you get the extra year.
You get the extra year. You're a team that, you know, like, they don't probably care about their first rounder right now. They think they're in their window to repeat for sure. Like, I could see it, Frank. Like, when you know, I always use the Barkley-Goudreau as the example.
That's such a bad example because everyone uses it every year.
But I'm just saying, a team, if they firmly believe they're close and they feel like, okay, we're really missing Riley Smith. Like, Tampa had a distinct thing. They'd been a very good team for a long time, and they felt clearly, because look, it wasn't just Goudreau. They went out, they got Maroon. They got lots of different guys,
Ullman,
who brought sandpaper, right? Which is what they didn't have. So Goudreau's maybe the last, the one final piece of it, but it illustrates that if you're in your window to win and you get 2 years out of a guy, now obviously they won two cups, so that's the utopian scenario. Not saying it's realistic for everyone, but I can understand if a team and Riley Smith, is he going to be a more productive player? Probably, right?
He should be. I mean, look, this is a 50-plus point player last year.
Yeah.
And then so that's in my the point. Playoffs was a horse.
Yeah.
Did he just wake up this year and forget how to play?
No. So, yeah, I think for sure there's lots of reasons why. Like, if he's a $2.5 million player on your cap hit next year, I think he's likely going to give you better value than what you're paying.
Well, and if you're Pittsburgh, you're probably not. You've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. You don't have a first round pick this year. You can get additional ones if you trade Gensel. If you're Vegas, he's the nice check down. You don't have to worry. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to think, oh, will he work out with us? Will he not? You already know he does.
But don't you think if it's Riley Smith at $2.5 million, Frank, I think there'd be more than Vegas interested. I think there'd be quite a few other teams.
Probably, but if you're Vegas, where, like, I don't know. I can't think of a better scenario for them. I think you do whatever it takes to get it done. Make sure that he ends up with you. And if you're Pittsburgh, you're probably not counting every last dollar after missing the playoffs 2 years in a row. You're probably thinking, we've got to retain.
Oh, yeah. I wonder, you know, how many guys they're looking at moving. Like, do you think there's any sort of market at all for Jeff Carter?
No. I mean, when you say any sort of market at all, Nick Bonino got traded for a fifth round pick last year.
Mm-hmm. He's a UFA, Frank. Somebody could just sign him for nothing if they wanted.
Jeff Carter also has the full no move. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go anywhere.
No, he doesn't have to. He's won cups, but I could see potentially if you're, you know, you're thinking it's your last hurrah, right?
He's just really slowed down.
Oh, I know. But again,
like, I thought Nick Bonino last year was way out of it. And, you know, he obviously was waived this year by the Rangers and he's currently a free agent. And, you know, maybe someone signs him right now for depth. But I thought Nick Bonino was out of gas last year. And the Penguins still traded a fifth for him.
Yeah.
To get him back.
Yeah. And, you know, he'd been there. So it's kind of what we know. We understand the personality, which I think is sometimes overlooked for teams. You got to be confident in what you're bringing into your room. So I just, I was kind of curious about Bonino.
And seventh and a fifth, by the way.
Yeah. Well, if you're always looking for depth and it costs you nothing, maybe a team takes a flyer on Bonino.
Right? Or on Carter, you mean?
Well, Bonino for sure, because he's free. Carter, even at half, is still 1.56 or 1.65 or something like that. So yeah, a little bit different. He might be at the end of the day, a team that, who knows, Frank, if they're, they teams, you know what, they always value the experienced grizzled veteran.
Yeah. He's been a healthy scratch this year.
Yeah.
And I think they respect him immensely. He's someone that to me is, you know, he's had an unbelievable career, but at 39, I think he's run out of gas.
Yeah. And there's a lot of tread on the tires, shall we say.
133 career playoff games, 47 goals, 84 points.
Oh yeah. It's not a bad playoff player at all.
2014, when the Kings won the cup, he had 25 points in 26 games.
Oh yeah. No, he was a huge part of that cup.
Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad at all. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's going on, gentlemen? I'm back with another edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by our friends at DoorDash. Our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Restaurants and more delivered right to your door with DoorDash. Or a trick I like using: I know I have a 25-minute drive home from work. I know the local burrito place takes exactly 25 minutes to make my burrito. I'm my own DoorDash driver. I order it on the app for pickup, and I walk in and I get my own burrito. So plenty of reasons or ways you can use DoorDash to your advantage. All right, let's get into things here. We saw earlier this week Quinton Byfield score potentially the goal of the year. It was an absolute beauty. Two-parter here. First off, just give me one word to describe that goal from Byfield. And also, buy or sell on him as a future 40-goal guy, Frank?
Future 40-goal guy? He's going to hit 29 this year.
Can he one
day get really to 40? Not really a big gap to close between 30 and 40.
11's a pretty big gap.
When you jump from 3 to 29, not really.
Okay.
One word to describe it, I would say athletic.
I like that.
And there's so many facets of that goal. The hop on his skates, losing the puck, losing his stick, being able to lift the puck over the goalie's pad on his backhand. I couldn't be more impressed. And I would say that is the mark of a true athlete.
Fair enough. Greg's buy or sell on him as a future 40 goal guy. What'd you think of the goal?
40 goals is still hard. I really like Quinton Byfield. He's a perfect example of, you know, needing a little bit of time to develop, stop rushing your players, and then, you know, people freaking out on it. But for the goal, I'm going to describe it as shifty. The edge work really on the goal is what had impressed me. For a big guy like that, it's showing, you know, Frank's word athletic, I think is very accurate as well. And, you know, Byfield, I think he is the guy who's going to be their offensive leader in LA moving forward. They got some older guys. DeNoe's never been a great offensive player, but I think Byfield's the guy who's breaking out, and they've developed him perfectly. Right. He gets to learn from Anze Kopitar, one of the best, most professional athletes we've seen in the league for a long time. He's a big man like Byfield, and Byfield just, he's like that big diesel engine now, guys, that's just starting to get rolling and starting trucking. When he goes, like when you're that big and strong, you can just bowl through guys sometimes. So yeah, 40 goals, I'll buy that. Sure.
It's not the physicality that I think is so impressive with his frame. I think it's his skating. He flies.
Oh no,
he absolutely flies. He's such an elite skater that he's going to separate himself from everyone else.
Let me ask you guys this. If you were to redo that 2020 NHL draft, I wonder who would be your first overall pick. Tim Stützle has 81 more points than any other player in the draft class, but there's high end D-men on there like a Jake Sanderson or a Brock Faber. If you had to redo that, Frank, who'd go first overall?
Let me just pull up the draft quickly to make sure that I'm not missing anyone.
Lucas Raymond, or so goes Stützle, Raymond, Jarvis in terms of the three best point producers so far in their careers from that draft. And then I also threw in kind of the best D-men from there. Sanderson, Braden Schneider, and obviously Brock Faber.
So I think it would go Sanderson 1, Stützle 2, Byfield 3, Seth Jarvis 4, Cole Perfetti 5.
Brock Faber's that low. It's a tough one to throw you guys on the spot for. That was unfair.
Well, it's because he Tim Stützle is 263 games into his career.
Yeah.
And you're looking like I think Connor Zary goes in the top 10. Marco Rossi's been extremely impressive this season. I'm a believer in Jack Quinn. Alexander Holtz may get traded here at the deadline. It's a really, Dawson Mercer is good. Like, it's a really good question. I think adding in Faber, probably, let me reshape that. 1, Sanderson, 2, Stützle, 3, Faber, 4, Byfield.
Interesting. Craig's agree or disagree? Buying or selling on that list from Frank.
Brock Faber is number one on my list. The numbers that Brock Faber is putting up this year in Minnesota are mind-blowingly good. And it doesn't look like it's just a fluke. It's not, you know, it's not, oh, he's playing with like a great Nick Lidstrom or somebody like that. And if I'm looking, so we're redoing it from today, and now I've seen what I've seen from the guys. And now that Quinton Byfield's kind of grown into his man body, I would take Byfield ahead of Stützle. But admittedly, I'm not part of a team dive. So that's why I'm dropping him.
Okay, but
irks me to no end. That's all. So he's
and that's fair.
Two on my list. I'd have Sanderson 3.
To be fair, though, Stützle is not all that far off from a point per game.
Oh no, I like Stützle at all. I just think you watch over. If we start from
we're not in consensus. Like you don't think Sanderson. You think Faber goes 1?
I would have Faber 1. Yes.
I think Sanderson has already done more or less what Faber is doing now.
Yeah, I didn't think his numbers last year matched what Faber. Like Faber's playing, he's played 26 minutes. He's played the most minutes in the NHL since December 1st and thrived doing it as a rookie. 26 minutes. I get there's injuries, but guess what? There's lots of guys who get injured and the people who fill in can't do it. The fact that he's doing it is amazing to me.
So here's one other really interesting question about that draft. Where would Alexi Lafreniere go, and would he be inside the top 10?
It's a good question. Stützle, Sanderson, Mercer,
Jarvis.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Jarvis.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, Seth Jarvis is in there for sure. Seth Jarvis might be number one on the quotes. Draft from that team, by the way.
I think he's outside really of the top 10 for sure.
I would take Zari before Lafreniere.
I would take Lundell before Lafreniere.
It's maybe a little bit of a reach.
Like I look at Lafreniere and I do wonder, he's one of the one young guys who, like if you, I don't know if he's ever got a consistent opportunity like some of the other young guys. And I wonder how that plays in. You know, I still think there's some on the player, but I do wonder about lots of other guys.
Are opportunity,
like first unit power play minutes and stuff like that for other guys. That makes a difference for certain offensive
players. He hasn't earned it.
Yeah.
Chicken egg debate.
Our guy, Johnny Lazarus, noted Ranger fan. He the hottest of hot takes yesterday on Morning Cup of Hockey, saying that he thinks at some point Lafreniere will be a 100-point player. And the joke was, you mean in his career or in one season? And I'm in jest, like, he does already have 124 points in his NHL career.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Moving along here. I got another one for you guys. And granted, you kind of talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to throw it your way anyways. I'm going to say over 2.5 players moved by the Penguins before the deadline. Frank, I know you got Riley Smith coming into the top 10 of your trade targets list. So basically Gensel, Smith, and one other piece. Are you buying or selling on over 2.5 players, Gregor?
Well, I'm just trying to look at who's the other piece they're going to move. Like, honestly, I know for a team that's out of it, like, I you know what? I will say three, because I think with teams looking for goaltenders, they might consider Nedeljkovic, maybe. So that would be my, I'll go over. Plus, I just want some trades. So,
Frank?
I'm going to go under. I saw some people clamoring for Marcus Pettersson. Like, they couldn't give him away 2 years ago.
$4 million is a tough ask. What about Lars Eller, Frank? If the Penguins
No, Lars Eller was one of the worst signings of the summer. Insanity. The fact that he went for a second round pick last year is absolutely batshit crazy. And the fact that he then got term this year, I mean, look, I think it's entirely fair to question Kyle Dubas and his player evaluation.
But why is Lars Eller, like, look at Lars Eller's career. He's got 10 goals and 53, which puts him on pace for 14. His career high was 18 once. He's had 12.
Do you watch the game? Like, don't tell me about the 10 goals. Just watch the game.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you see him in the playoffs last year? Because no one else in Colorado did, even though he played all 7 games.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I never get too crazy about playoff years. There's lots of guys that have been good in the playoffs and then have one run where they're bad. Like, that happens. Like, it's a 7-game stretch and all of a sudden you're brutal, right? We've seen lots of guys have that over the years. So I wouldn't be that quick to want to go crazy over that. For me, you know, I kind of more so look at how he's playing right now.
My personal opinion, he can't move.
Okay.
All right. Last one I got.
And you're going to take one more year at 2.45? Like,
how? No. I said if the Pens are retaining.
I think at some point the Pens are going to get in trouble with the retaining and slots available.
Okay, you could be right.
But like, let's say you are retaining on Eller. What is the very best you could do?
But okay, well, I'm going to give you the numbers though. If you actually look at Eller's, all of his numbers, man,
don't
expect
tell
goals,
me about
his shots,
numbers.
Everything. Well,
just watch the game.
It's all above 52%. Like, I don't think Lars Eller is this awful, dude. I can give you lots of bottom six guys that aren't as good. But
bottom six guys that make 2.45, that even next year at 1.275 or whatever it is, 1.225, no good.
Yeah.
I think you can get a million players like Lars Eller that give you exactly what he does right now for 900K and sign him in the summer.
Ugh.
Plug and play, buddy. Plug and play. Yeah. How many times do teams get in trouble when they add players that they pay too much to play in their bottom six? Every time, every year, you see a signing and you're like, "Ooh, that is expensive." I know that they were just raving about him, but what's the worst signing for the Penguins? Noel Achari, 3 years at $2 million, or Lars Eller, 2 years at 2.45?
Oh, I'm taking Achari for sure.
But let's just like take a step back and like, again, I think we should really call into question Kyle Dubas's player evaluation.
Yeah.
Erik Karlsson trade, Riley Smith trade, Lars Eller, Noel Achari. Waiver claims.
I'm not on the Eller, man. I look at Eller's numbers. I don't see them nearly.
John Ludvig, Colin White, Matthew Phillips, like Jansen Harkins. Tell me what's impressive. The Tristan Jarry contract. Honestly, what part of his offseason has been impressive? when you are tasked with going out to get this Penguins team over the hump and back into the playoffs, not only did you trade away a lot of future capital, you've made a boatload of signings and committed a lot of money. For what?
Yeah. Well, we'll agree to disagree on Eller, but I will agree on the overall evaluation of Dubas's work in Pittsburgh. Like, I'm not sure anything has worked out super well. There's not one guy.
Ryan Graves. How's that signing been? No one's going to touch him 6 years at 4 or 5. He's the new Marcus Pettersson. Duh. Kyle Dubas spent $75 million. He spent $100 and some million when you include the Carlson deal.
Oh yeah.
In one summer. And they're going to miss the playoffs again.
Pens fans, welcome to pain, because for the next few years, it's coming.
All right. The nice thing for Penguins fans, though, is they haven't even known pain for 15 years. True. Like,
no.
Yeah, it's been good living.
Would you, by the way, like, it's a great fill in the blank or buy or sell. Like, would you buy 15 years of a run that they had to then have 10 god awful ones after?
Yeah, three cups.
I think most fans would say 100%. 100%. You get three cups, take that all day long.
Yeah, here's the only thing, though.
Well, what do you want to be? You want to be San Jose?
No, what I'm saying is when those ticket renewals start coming in, you're going to go, this team stinks.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. And then that's the question of, are you a real fan or not? The thing is, you have to, there's my caveat. You have to pay for your tickets every year during the 25 years. Okay, but you're 15 good ones, but you're going to get 10 god awful ones. Would you still do it?
But you're only talking to, like, what a percentage of your fan base, right? There's 17, I don't even know how many season tickets, but they got 15, 16,000 season ticket holders maybe in Pittsburgh. The vast majority of their fans can't afford to go to games, never mind twice a year, never mind 41 times. So I'll never buy real fans have to be season ticket holders. It's just too expensive.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying on the hypothetical, if you're actually making a true investment in a team.
Well, I could tell you. Well, it depends on the market. I've seen, look at Oilers fans. They went through decades and they still sold out to every game. So Leaf fans, right?
I can tell you this. Pittsburgh is a great sports city, but they don't support losing teams. They don't support the Pirates. They haven't, because they've lost. And when the Penguins have been shit, they don't show up. So
yeah,
we're going to get a real test for the market after some incredible years.
Yes. Sure. Just a matter of when. Well, the bigger question long term is, does Sidney Crosby finish his career?
He already came out this week and said yes. He said, okay, I'm not going anywhere.
All right.
Rob Rossi had a great story in The Athletic to put all of this bullshit started by Jay Downton to bed.
Well, I'll say this, though. I wonder, Frank, you say it now. What if it's year four of missing the playoffs and you're not close? Things can change. Won't
be under contract.
Crosby's entitled to change his opinion, is all I'm going to tell people.
No, he's absolutely entitled, but I don't think he will.
Okay. All right.
Because you're asking him the same question that we just asked about the fans.
Yeah. Do you sit?
And by the way, franchise value will go like that, plummet, if Sidney Crosby isn't a member of the Penguins. And Fenway Sports Group, they paid a lot of money for that team.
All right. That is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell. Not just your meals, but your groceries and more delivered right to your door with DoorDash.
That's all you got, Tyler? Did we do two questions?
Well, because we got caught off on some tangents. I did have a third
one. What else you got? Do you have something else in there?
I have one more. I had under 2.5 goalies moved ahead of the deadline. You want to debate that, Frank? Buy or sell? Under 2.5 goalies moved.
I'll take the under. I will buy. I'm outside of Mark, like, and I'm not convinced Markstrom moves. So, like, let's say Markstrom is one. Who's the next one?
Allen.
Okay, that's two. Allen is in my top five. And I do think the Canadians are working pretty hard to move him. So the teams that need goalies are New Jersey, Colorado, and who? Not Edmonton.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Like, Minnesota is trending to be pushing for that number eight spot. So I don't think they're going to trade Fleury.
I don't think even if they aren't in that they want to trade Fleury.
Yeah.
I think that they're perfectly willing to just let this season play out and then see if they can keep him.
You think LA wants a depth goalie?
Oh, Carolina. That would be the other team. But Freddie Anderson is coming back.
Are you going to go down the stretch hoping that Freddie Anderson can stay? Because when he plays, he's very good. But it's more so, do you think you can rely on Freddie Anderson to be ready and healthy to play in the playoffs for a deep playoff run?
I wonder if this blood clot issue that he's had will allow him to be more fresh.
Okay.
I mean, so you could make the argument, oh, he hasn't played all year, getting thrown into the fire. You know, he played a couple games to start, but getting thrown into the fire, that, you know, that's when you'll see an injury. But what if it's just he hasn't played a lot? There isn't a lot of wear on those tires this year, and he'll be good for the playoffs. I think you can convince yourself of whatever you want to, but I'm with you. If I were Carolina, I wouldn't be betting on those two guys or three guys with this good of a roster, with this much upheaval this summer, potentially on tap with Brett Pesce, Brady Shea. Those guys are up. I mean, you're going to have turnover. That's going to just be natural.
All that said,
the other guy they have, Teuvo Teravainen, is he? I don't have my cap sheet in front of me.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, those are three really significant pieces. Like, this might be your last run as this group is currently assembled.
Yeah, so Teravainen's a pending UFA. Natchez is a pending RFA. He's going to get probably a pretty big ticket there as well. So, yeah.
Natchez is doubling his salary almost.
At least.
Right. At least.
So. Yeah. Well, Seth Jarvis also needs a deal. Oof. And Jacob Slavin is eligible for an extension. You know, they've got some big, big question marks in Carolina.
Greg's over look under where, 2.5 goalies.
Look where this under 2.5 goalies led us. You never know.
It's the longest buyer sell we've ever done. Go ahead, Greg.
I'm taking over, by the way. I think teams are going to look, and I think a team like LA is going to find some depth. So I'm going to say 3.
Okay. Sorry, not to put caveats on the answer here, but like, are we talking like of David Riddick quality? And don't even come at me and say that his numbers have been good this year. Like, I get it. He's been fine. But like,
hey, we're not saying it's got to be a top.
We've seen a bunch of scrub third guys moved around, and we're going to say that counts.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, it does count. Actually, that was the question. The question wasn't the caliber. Hey, you can't change your answer now.
I'm not trying to change my answer. I'm saying goalies of significance, because are you one of those people that like, as
I'm not talking an AHL goalie, I'm talking a guy.
Yeah, an NHL goalie.
Okay. Yeah. So that's fair. There's only 64 of them, or 67 with a couple teams carrying 3. Mm. So it is funny though, when you get to like deadline day and people always say like over under on the number of trades. And then you see like, 2 AHL guys traded for each other, and you're like, does that count?
No, it's got to be on NHL roster for me to
count. But then you take one NHL guy that's another like a draft team pick for a minor leaguer, and it's like, come on, man.
If you're trading an NHL guy for a draft pick or an NHL guy for a minor leaguer, what's the difference? Because we're no guarantee the draft pick is going
to pan out. I'll tell you this. When it comes to deadline day and I'm like fishing around for stuff late in the day, I actually get some messages from GMs like, why do you care? This trade is completely irrelevant. They literally say that to me, like, I don't even know the details. My assistant GM is working on it. We can get them to you later, because they don't care. And somehow that's counting in some pricks over and under that he bet on somewhere on Patano.
All right. Counts
to win, baby. I get it.
Yeah. Finally, a wrap on a long edition of Buy or Sell with plenty of offshoots in the conversation. But there you go. All brought to you by DoorDash.
All right. Well, that's good. Inside of that, we covered a lot of other topics we want to cover outside of it. So that's a perfect way to wrap up the pod. As always, remember, go to dailyfaceoff.com. Frank has a new list. Who's the most
usual
likely
suspects
to get moved? Yes, but in some different slots. So you can check that out. Also, while you're there, click on the top right corner for the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Of course, you can't enter today, but you can enter today for next week. And you have a chance to win great weekly prizes, as well as $5,000 in cold, hard cash if you can go on a run. And as crazy as it sounds, hey, I saw somebody tweet you, Frank, that said that he ran his first week ever. So now we'll see if he can do it again.
Yeah, how about that guy? He's like, I never played before. You guys said it was so hard. I came in and ran the table. Big deal. Like, hey, buddy, keep going. You might be able to get the $5,000.
Yeah, hey, doing it once, good. Might just be luck. Let's see if you can do it again. That would be my challenge. So try it out, dailyfaceoff.com for the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. And Frank's still waiting. It's been a long year. He's still holding out hope that he might get his free French toast sticks if he can just finish a week. So got to have goals. Got to have goals. Have a good one. We will chat with you after the weekend. And hey, we'll be within 2 weeks of the NHL trade deadline. And lots of things could happen then. And a busy weekend. Lots of wheeling and dealing. We'll see some guys on LTIR, coming off LTIR. And that's going to be a story to watch all the way to the end of the regular season. Have a good one, Frank.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. And let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount. And that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first. And you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.